Rota Teret Sadik Zayin. Rabbeinu Zal says, the Pusik says, Elikim al domiloch al techarash val tishkoid keil. This is David HaMelech saying to Hashem, Kaviyachal, Hashem, please don't be silent. Al techarash val tishkoid keil, don't be silent to our pleas. In other words, respond to us. Rabbeinu Zal says, Vinyin hukach. The adua it is known, the adua hu sheyesh mokaim lamalo, shenikra eldod umedod, shemishom hashefa yered loilam. It is known in the Sifrei Kabbalah that there is a place in heaven that's called eldod umedod, and that's the place from where shefa comes to the world. Rabbi Nizal says, ki hashnei oisiyos kel heim dod, v'hashnei oisiyos mei heim dod. The two letters of Hashem's name, Elikim, the two letters Aleph Lamed, are considered one breast, Kaviyachol, from where Shefa comes, and the two letters Mem Yud are considered the second one, Kael and Me. K'moy shekosu b'likutei Torah lo ha'ari parshas balos has is brought nis kisvei Arizal. V'hashefa nekras hey. We know that Shefa, the concept of Shefa, is always symbolized by the letter hey. As the Pasuk says, Hey Lochem Zera, let there be to you children, and the word Hey is used, Hey, which is the letter Hey also, the letter pronounced as the letter Hey. So we know that Zera is the cloyus of Shefa. When we talk about Shefa, the main bracha of Shefa to a person is to be Zecha to have children. That's the Ikra Shefa. So the letter Hey symbolizes Shefa. The word Elikim, which is Bina, which is the mother, which is from where all the Shefa comes from, you note that it's split out into three departments. Elikim is Kael, and Me, and the letter Hey in the middle. Now Rabbi Nizal explains, V'nishlam Hashem Elikim Mishulam, and the name of Hashem Elikim is completed. That's when things are good. Ach, b'avoneisein or Rabbim, due to our many sins, however, but at times, due to our many sins, at times there is a histalkus hashefa, the shefa leaves. How is the leaving of the shefa symbolized? By the hay becoming decreased to a dalid. Al-Shem Deleslo Migamo Klum. The word Dalit, the letter Dalit also signifies the word Deles, that it's lacking, which means a concept of lacking. It has nothing of its own. So the concept of Chisoroin is the letter Dalit. The concept of Mole, Shefa, is the letter Hey, as we'll see explained a little better later. Each and every Jew is required to see to it to change the dalid into a hay. The ketzad oisin min hadalid hay. How is a person zeche to restore the dalid, to make it into a hay? Ho inyan hukach. Rabbi Nizal says as follows. There's a pasuk in Tehillim where the pasuk says, Li Gilad. David HaMelech says, I rule over Gilad. Veli Menashe Ephraim, and I rule over Menashe and Ephraim. Veli Menashe, Ephraim Mo'oiz Reishi, Yehuda Mechaikiki. Ephraim is the crown of my head, and Yehuda is my rulers. My rulers come from Shevet Yehuda. This is what David HaMelech says. Rabbi Nizal explains, Hapirish Shukach, the explanation is as follows. Ki koydim bria soilam, before Hashem created the world, Hashem yisporach idein v'kishet esatzmoy b'tfiloson u'b'maisim toivim shel tzadikim. Before Hashem created the world, Hashem pleasured himself with the tfilos and the good deeds of tzadikim, meaning shetzofo sheyiyu tzadikim. Hashem foresaw that there would be tzadikim. These tzaddikim, through their good deeds, we're reviewing what we did last week, a little piece, and we'll continue. Hashem foresaw that there would be tzaddikim, that through their good deeds, they would be meishel, they would rule with their tefillah, and they would be zeichet to be poyel, whatever they would want to be poyel. al derech, as the pasuk says, tzaddik moishel yiras elokim, that the tzaddik through his tefillah has a power in a sense to rule over Hashem. V'chol echad miYisrael yochol lovei lamadrega zu l'mishal b'tefilasei. Each and every Jew has it within his capacity to attain a power of rulership with his tefillah, to be able to dictate policy in the world through his tefillah, through his prayer. Elo sheyesh shnei manias. However, there are two barriers that make this difficult. What are they? Ho'achaz hi koydem ha'tefillah. The first one is, before a person begins to daven, haynu she'oymed lehispalel begadlus. A person gets up to daven, he stands up to daven before Hashem, and he stands up with an attitude of arrogance, without the proper humbleness. Shehu meyuchas godel, he considers himself one coming from a good background, or because he feels that he struggled very hard in serving Hashem, therefore he considers himself big. And because of that attitude, it's impossible for a person like that to be able to rule with his tefillah. A person who wants to have real tefillah, to have a rulership with his tefillah, must forget all of this. And the person has to take the attitude as though he was just born today. He hasn't done a single mitzvah in his life yet. And he has to take on an attitude like he's the only person in the world. Not that he comes from any great family background. He's no meyuchas at all. He's alone. He's standing before Hashem naked from any major good deeds and alone. V'zehu b'chinas menashe. Rabbi Nizal says this is the concept of the term menashe. Why? Loshein nishoyoin v'shikcha. The word nishoyoin in Hebrew means to forget. As Rabbi Nizal says, as Yosef HaTzadik said, why did Yosef HaTzadik name one of his sons Menashe? The Torah tells us, Ki nashani elikim es kol beisavi, because Hashem has forgotten the home of my parents. In other words, in separating Yosef HaTzadik, Hashem left him in Egypt alone. Yosef HaTzadik said something like, Kaviyochel, Hashem has forgotten me here. So Rabbi Nizal says, that's the term Menashe. So Rabbi Nizal says, note, Ki nashani elikim es beisavi, ze hayichus. We said that the person has to be careful to block out two things from his mind. Number one, his heritage. Number two, his great avoda. Note that Yesu HaTzadik said, Ki nashani elikim eskol beis avi ve'eskol amoli. Hashem forgot the great home from which I come from and all my good deeds. If a person wants to daven to Hashem, he has to be capable of blocking out these two items from his mind. Okay, that's the first mania. The first mania is, before a person gets up to daven, he has arrogance based on two items, heritage and good deeds. That's problem number one. That makes it difficult for him to have memshol in his tefillah. V'hamania hasheinis, the second problem is, he b'soich ha'tefillah, within the tefillah. Due to the sins that a person did on purpose, or the bad thoughts that a person brought upon himself on purpose, this causes the person to have all kinds of outside thoughts while he's davening. And because of these strange thoughts, gamkein eifshar limshel b'tfilasei, these items block a person from being able to have real rulership in his tefillah. Al kein, therefore, Rabbi Nizal says, tzorech l'shaber hamachshavos zorois al yedei machshavos kedoshos shel tefillah. A person has to see to it to smash the outside thoughts. How? What do? You pick up a stick? No. By simply concentrating on the words of tefillah that you're saying, translating each word in your own mind, that's the machshavos kedoshos that you have to have at that time. Val yedei zeh, and by concentrating on machshavos kedoshos, hazadonos, the Gemara says in Yuma that when a person is zeicha to do teshuva me'av, out of love for Hashem, the zedainos become zechuyos. The sins that he did on purpose get changed into mitzvahs. Rabbi Nizal says here that when a person is zeicha to concentrate on tefillah properly, that's one of the highest forms of teshuva. How do we know that? Because the pasuk says, Kru imochem dvorim v'shuvu al Hashem. That what's the ikar tshuva? The ikar tshuva is tefillah. That's the ikar tshuva. So therefore, Rabbi Nizal says that if a person davens the right way, that's a form of tshuva. Tshuva means that the Zedainos get converted to Zechuyos. Rabbi Nezal says, V'zeh b'chinas Ephraim. This is the concept of Ephraim. K'moy Shekosov, as the Pasuk says, why did Yosef HaTzadik name his second son Ephraim? The Pasuk says, Ki Ephrami Elikim Beretzilni. Because Yosef HaTzadik said, Hashem has made me fruitful even in this poor country, in Egypt, poor of Kedusha. Pirish ki hadavor shehoyo ba'anius mikaidem. That item, which was originally in a state of poverty, it wasn't powerful. Dahainu chorev v'yavesh, it was destroyed and dried out, now becomes fruitful, it becomes producing, it produces shefa. And through the good thoughts, that item which was dried out and nothing, meaning the aveirois, the zedainois, now become fruitful, they get converted into zechuyos, which are a fruit-bearing item. You follow? The chorei v'yovesh is going on the zedainos. These acts which a person committed b'mezin, which were dried out garbage-like, that type of item, now when he has machshavos kedoshos and tefillos, they become peros. They become real, revived, and towards his favor, to his advantage.
Was it
funny meaning then? Right. Ki hefrani elikim, Hashem made me fruitful, b'eretzoni. Rabbi Nezal says, "Ukeshem espalil bebeis bechinoy seilu menashe v'Ephraim anal." When a person is zeicha now to daven with these two items perfected, number one, that when he gets up to daven, he has the right attitude, no arrogance. Plus, he's careful to concentrate on the words of tefillah. Rabbi Nezal says, "Ubevadai boli de anova v'shiflus." And certainly, this type of attitude will bring a person to a humbleness. Umin anova nimshach hayira, and we know that humbleness always draws with it fear of Hashem. K'moy shekosov, as the pasuk says, mishlei ekev anova yiras Hashem. That fear of Hashem is like the heel of the shoe of humbleness, meaning that one who has humbleness, it's assumed automatically that he has fear of Hashem. Nimtza. So what comes out of this? That if a person is zeicha to daven with the humbleness that we described, and he concentrates on the words of tefillah, so he has solid humbleness, which means he has yiras Hashem, which means nimtza mispal gamkin liyira v'hayira mikras malchus. Now we know that yira is called kingdom. How do we know this? K'mo yishom razal, as the Gemara says in Pirkei Avos, il molei moiro'o shel malchus. If not for the fear and respect that people have for government, they would kill it, they'd eat each other up alive. So we see that Meiro'o goes together with Malchus. Yira and Malchus go together. Nimtzo shehat tfilo yeshlo bechinas Malchus. So when a person is zeicha, that his tfilo is with an anova, and he concentrates on the words of tfilo, he's zeicha to Yira, which is Malchus, meaning he's zeicha to a Malchus. He has Memshala now. V'yesh la tefillah kazu b'chinas memshola. This tefillah has power now. It has rulership. V'ze tainug shel Hashem yisborach. This is the greatest pleasure of Hashem. V'nismalei rotzayim haboyrei. And the desire of Hashem is filled. It's satiated. Now Rabbi Nezal says, Ma mitchilo sheloi hoya hatainug hazeh. Imagine, Rabbi Nezal is going to state a kal v'chomer now. Ma doch in the beginning of creation, when this pleasure was not there yet. Rak Hashem Yisporach Tzofo L'mei Rochoik, Hashem saw into the future, Sheyiyu Tzadikim Sheyispalo Boifen Zeh, he saw that there would come a time when there would be Tzadikim who would pray in this manner, Umizeh Hatainug Nivroho Ilom Basorom Amores, and because of the fact that Hashem saw into the future that there would be such Tzadikim, Hashem was willing to go ahead with creating the world with 10 statements. He was willing to advance the 10 statements, the Asura Mamorois, because he saw into the future that people would daven in this manner. Koshkein Achshav, certainly now, Kishebo HaTainug Hazeh, when this pleasure finally arrives, Shehashem Yisporach Mechadesh Esaylomoi Basura Mamorois. Hashem, at the moment that a person presents this type of tefillah, what does Hashem do? Hashem renews the act of creation with the 10 statements. K'may shekosul, as the Pasuk says, where do we find this concept of a renewing of creation? The Pasuk says clearly, U'betuvo imechadesh b'choyem tomid ma'aseh bereishis, that Hashem with His goodness revives ma'aseh bereishis every single day. So we see that there is a concept of chidish ma'aseh bereishis. So Rabbi Nizal says that a person who is zeichet to daven in this manner, he regenerates the Asura Mamoris, which is the letter Yud, 10, the Asura Mamoris. Now Rabbi Nizal says, v'zeh pirush ha-posuk. Now let's go back to explain the posuk that we started with. The posuk said, Li Gilod, David HaMelech, who was one who was most noted for what? For his tefillah. David HaMelech said, Va'ani tefillah, I am tefillah. So David HaMelech said, Li Gilod. Gilod belongs to me. What is Gilod? Rabbi Nizal says, Loshin Gal-Aid. There's a word in the Torah where the Pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu erected a Mizbeach to Hashem, he called it Gal-Aid. Gal-Aid is the same letters as the word Gilad. Rabbi Nizal says, what does that mean? Shenizgale ha-tainug shehoyol Hashem yisporach kledim b'riyas ha'olam. There becomes revealed the pleasure which Hashem had before creation. She'idein v'kishet b'tfiloson shel tzadikim. Hashem pleasured himself and adorned himself with the tfilos of tzadikim, period. In other words, that's what galed is, to be megale, the eden. Eden means pleasure. Rabbi Nizal says, how does this come about? When a person is zeichet to present a tefillah which has within it these two characteristics of Menashe and Ephraim, whereby the person forgets all his reasons for being arrogant, plus Hifrani, he makes peros. He takes zedinos and converts them into zechuyos. How? By concentrating on the tefillah. You know what happens? Yehuda, Hainu, Mo'oiz Roshi, Hainu sheyagbir hamachshavos kedoshos. How does the person do this? By pushing, by concentrating his thoughts during tefillah, by trying to concentrate his, by strengthening his head, applying eyes to his head. You know what happens then? Yehuda, hainu hatefillah. The word Yehuda symbolizes tefillah. Kama shekosov hapam oides Hashem. Why did she name him Yehuda? Because she said, now I will give praise to Hashem. Lahoides means to praise. Mechaykeki upirush Rashi loshin sroro umalchus. The word mechaykek means a ruler, a leader. You know what happens when a person has Gilad, Menashe, and Ephraim? Yehuda, the tefillah, is given mechaykiki, malchus, memshola. Hainu sheyiel ha-tefillah memshola. Then the tefillah is given a power of rulership. V'yizgale ha-tainig hanal. The pleasure of Hashem is revealed. V'yechadesh oylamoy basor mamoris kanal. And Hashem regenerates the act of creation with the 10 statements. Va'asura mamoris hanal heim yud. These 10 statements are symbolized by the letter yud. Rabbi Nizal says, yud. This yud that we just generated. The dalid hanal and the dalid that we had before, when the hay becomes deficient, we said it turns into a dalid. Take this yud that's generated in this manner. How? By davening with kavona, with this concept of Menashe and Ephraim, whereby a person affects the concept of Gilad. He reveals the pleasure that Hashem had before creation, and he regenerates the Asura Mamores, so this person generated a Yud now. That Yud gets combined with the Dalid that we said before, Naseh Hei, and that's what recreates the Hei. Now Rabbi Nizal says, Va'asoro mamorois nimshach mi'chesed. We know that these 10 statements, which Hashem used to create the world with, these 10 statements came from the kindness of Hashem. How do we know that? Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hashem says, Omarti, oylam chesed yibone. Omarti, Rabbi Nizal says, dahainu hama'amorois, v'ma'amorois, the 10 statements which Hashem used, maimar, Oylam chesed yibona. They came from chesed. The chesed nikro kale. We know that chesed is called kale. Shenemar chesed kale kol hayoyim. As the pasuk says, chesed kale kol hayoyim. So Rabbi Nizal says this comes through an inyan of chesed. These asura mamoris are generated through an inyan of chesed. Period. Zehu pirush haposik. Now we can understand the pasuk that we started off the Torah with. If you recall, Rabbi Nizal quoted the pasuk, Elikim al domi loch, al techrash va'al tishkoit kale. Hashem, please don't be silent. Don't be silent, kale. Rabbi Nizal says now, Elekim al domiloch hainu, kishe ate roye, when a person observes, shemi shem Elekim, that from Hashem's name Elekim, nase oisiois kel domi, the name of Hashem, the name Elekim, gets converted to the letters El Domi, which means the hay becomes a dalid, the hay becomes deficient, it becomes a dalid, dalavaniyo, oimer loch, my advice to you is, I say to you, al techarash v'al tishkoit kael, shetire shetoirer bechinas kael. Person who wants to fix this has to try to arouse the chesed of Hashem. How does he do it? When a person is zeicha to present a tefillah in this concept of Menashe and Ephraim, as we said before, that's what helps the person be zeicha to arouse the chesed of Hashem. Why? Because we had proved how by doing that he arouses the pleasure that Hashem had at first only in theory, which generates the Asura Mamorais. But we showed from another pasuk that the Asura Mamorais come only through chesed, which means that this person with his tefillah generates the chesed that's needed for the Asura Mamorais. V'tase al yedei zeh min ha-dalid hey. And then the dalid is converted to a hey. You take the letter dalid, you add to it a little yud, it becomes a hey. A hey is actually a dalid and a yud. Rabbi Nizal says, v'nase kel b'chinas dod, umi b'chinas dod. Then the kel part of Elikim becomes one breast. The me part of Elikim becomes the second dod. The hey he has shefa, and the letter hey, that's the shefa that comes forth. What comes forth from a mother? Milk. Rabbi Nizal says ki hey begimel tziurin shelo gematria cholov im beis hakolos ki yodua liyodechem, because the letter hey in its fullest with the two kolels is begimatria, the word cholov, which means milk. Which means that how is Hashem's name Elikim formed? You have Kael and me are the two Dodim. The hay is the cholov that comes forth. That's how you mashlim the name of Elikim, from which comes forth Shefa, which is converted from Al-Domi. When this is in a state of Pegam, it's Al-Domi, to be silent. When the Dibur is Nistakin, it goes back to Elikim. How is hay Begimatria cholov? The letter hay can be spelled one of three ways. Either hay Aleph, or hey, or hey yud, which means 6 and 10 is 16 and 15 is 31. 31 plus the 6 letters that we had is 37, that's one kailel, plus the 3 basic kailels, which, just a second, 31, what do we say? It's 15 and 10 is 25, 31. Plus the 3 hays. No, just a second. Just a second. 31. Plus the 6 letters is 37. Plus the 3 original hays that we had is 41. Just a second. Let's take a look. The Parparois that we call brings this. Just a second. He brings 2 gersois in the Sefer Kabbalah as to how this is formed. Im habeis kailelois means the kailel of the oisiois and the kailel of the hays. Meaning, we said that the 3 together, hey aleph, hey yud, hey hey, are 31. There are 6 letters with their kailel, make up 7. 7 added to the 31 is 38. There are 3 hays that we started out with originally, with that kailel, is Bigimatria 42 exactly, which is Bigimatria Cholov.
3 hays?
Sorry, 3 hays, which is Cholov is 40. So hold it, then I was right the first time. You don't need that. In other words, you have the 31, plus the 6 letters, is 37, plus the 3 hays. That's what it is. That's one interpretation of what the 2 Koilels means, what Rabbeinu Zalman when he said in base Koilels. The Parbrois brings, there's another gears in the Sifrei Kabbalah, in the Sefer Mo'ere Oyer, where he says that over there he brings that if you take a look technically at the letter He can be written one of three ways. It can be pictured as a Dalid and a Yud, or a Dalid and a Vav, because that line is sort of in the middle of a Vav and a Yud, or as three Vavs. The letter He can actually be constructed from three Vavs, sort of. So these three forms, He Yud is 15, Dalid and Vav is 10, is 25, and three Vavs is 12, is 18, 25 and 18 is... Exactly. And that's why he says in these Kolelos goes on the word Cholov. The word Cholov with the two Kolelos would be begimatria, the three forms of the letter, the way the letter He could be written. Just a second now. These three forms, what did we say the total of them was? Three Vavs was 18. A Dalit and a Yud. Dalit and Yud is 14. Is how much? 18 and 14 is 32. Plus a Dalit and a Vav is 42. 42. Just a second. No, but that's not what it's saying here. No, you guys are not adding right. Just a second. Dalit Yud is 14. Dalit Vav is 24. 24 plus 18. Right. Is 42. So just a second. What was I saying? Is 42. With the Kailel. With the Kailel of that makes it 43. That's 43. Now let's take the three Hays. With the Kailel, meaning the icy ice, is 43. Cholov with the Kailel is Begimatria, the three Hays with their Kailel. That's what it is. You understand? That's the second interpretation. There were two interpretations here. One interpretation was the three Miluim of Hay, which are Hay Aleph, Hay Yud, and Hay Hay, which were a total of
31.
Plus Kailel number 1, which is the 6 ICIs, made it 37. Plus Kailel number 2, which was the 3 Hays, which you basically started from, was 40. That's how the Hay, in all its forms, with Bay's Kailelis, is Begimatria Cholov. That was one way of proving it. The other way of proving it was that Hay, with all its forms, with a Kailel, is Begimatria Cholov with a Kailel. That's what means Bay's Kailelis. Those are the two pshatim here.
When you did all those forms, you said the first one's Hey Yud.
Exactly. Dalid Yud. Dalid Yud. A Hey can be pictured as a Dalid and a Yud, or a Dalid and a Vav.
Cholov with the three letters.
Cholov with the three letters. I'm sorry, I made the same mistake again. Kailel means icy ice. You understand? The word Kailel is used differently at times. Okay, that's what it is. Baruch Hashem. Go ahead.
Here
it
is,
it says that the person dominates in a way where Hashem is not a surrender, so that's like why Hashem slowly removed all of his paradise, and now it's like Hashem is in the Chadesh, the world, because of the time that it's getting near. Right. And Hashem, anywhere in the Chadesh, the world constantly moves everything. What is that? The answer is no. The answer is no. Proof is that just as at the time of creation, what does the Rashi Kodesh say about Odom HaRishon, that Kol Siach HaSed Sode Terem Yitzmoch, that there isn't a single thing on earth that grows an inch until Odom davens. Meaning that it's only when people, the uvertura in the Chadesh B'chayim Tomat is totally in the Sadiqim daven, that's what generates the Asur Mamoris again, that's what generates this toy that's needed with which to be Mechadesh V'chon Tom Mechadesh. 100%. And that's the whole concept that we say many, many times about Al Tikriyami Elimi. What's the Pasuk? What's the Pasuk for it? V'leimor Letzion Ami Ato. The Zohar Kodesh is Al Tikriyami Elimi. Just like I create heaven and earth with my Dibor, You create heaven and earth with your dibur, the tzaddikim, Hashem says. How? This thing shows how. Because with their dibur, ma'adach, if Hashem had the thought that there was going to be tefillah, that was enough to help generate the Asur HaMoris. When the actual tefillah takes place, it certainly revives the Asur HaMoris, and that's how they participate in the creation of the world. Just a second.
We said 100 million percent.
Because the whole Briya Sa'ilam was a concept of, if you recall, that was the Shabbos Hashir. That the whole concept, the overall surrounding factor in creation was Chesed. Ki Omarti, Ailam Chesed Yibon, period. That the sum total of all of that is Rachmanis. The sum total of all Esther Spheres is Rachmanis.
The
answer is each person on a different level. But factually, va'amech kulam tzadikim. Each and every Jew has a potential of being a bechinas tzadik. Or better yet, being mevatel himself for the tzaddik, where he literally becomes part of him, he draws on his koyach. Meaning that this Jew, when he would go out for his chasidus and ask for something, he's not doing it on his own. He said harei nekasher first, which means it's as though his tefillah is coming up via the lungs and throat of the tzaddik Kenneth himself, which means 100% each and every Jew has the potential of doing this.
It's supposed to strive
for 100%. This Torah was not written for tzaddikim. This Torah was written for all of the Hanukkahs. Meaning, literally, where a person would want to accomplish an item, a person would want to be zeichet to shecha, to parnosa, to bonin, and he has a mamshola, he has the power to dictate policy through his freedom. He wants to get to Eretz Yisrael, he can create a plane, and create fuel, and create a ticket, and everything, to be zeichet again.
The English only
100%. That's what he said. That the whole key to Menshola is coming like an Onav. Not where you come like a Meyuchas, that's just the opposite. You have to come like an Onav, that's what gives you Menshola. Mimoy shall be tzadik, look through his Anava. Techakmuni, you recall that thing with David HaMelech.
Does it mean that each person, does it mean one person is covering for the creation of the world, or is it each individual one, like for himself, it's his thing? Although it's another person in the south who's davening, but it doesn't mean that he had his.
100%. How do I know? Because if you recall, we had a Torah, Rav Elazar quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which says, which means, you have to forget everybody in the world, you have to look at it like this whole world belongs to you, you're responsible to recreate it every single day. The recreation of Earth every single day is not totally in its side, it's totally in me. I'm responsible to daven every single day in this form, the concept of Menashe and Ephraim, through which I generate this Gal Eid, a Megala, the pleasure of Hashem, through which I generate Asar Amores, through which I am zeichet to participate in Bria Asar every single day.
And the word tefillah is being used in talking only, is talking about all kinds of tefillah.
100%. Tehillim, Shachris, Minchamayra, despite of this, Likutei Tefillah, everything related to tefillah. No question.
Firstly, when the chase converted to a dalad, what results? Is it bad shefa?
A subtraction of shefa. Dalad cannot produce shefa. Dalad is the less lomi, it has nothing. Empty.
Shefa.
Right.
Secondly, why dafka is the lekim picked here as a source of shefa? Don't we usually say that it's a yichud that causes shefa?
Kale and me. The two dodim and the challah. That's what it is.
Okay, so
Hold on a second. Generally, we say that you need a yichud to generate shefa. However, generally speaking, when we talk about shefa coming, we say the shefa comes from the mother. The mother is the one who provides for the child. Although the father goes out and earns a living, the mother is the one who nurses the child. That's Elikim in this Torah. We're talking about the Imo, we're talking about the Dodim and the Cholov, which come from the Aim, which is Elikim. The summary of this whole Torah was talking about the Shefa as coming from the mother. And by the way, a reminder of us, to me, a spectacular Chiddush that I saw in the Einik Shabbos that Rabbi Freim Elzar brings, really, to show clearly how the word Shefa and the word Tefillah are synonymous, the fact that he brings, the Gemara says that by each one of the Avos HaKadoshim, who were the ones who brought, who presented tefillah to the world? Abraham presented Shachris, Yitzchak Mincha, Yaakov Maariv. That's what's written. We note that by each one of the Avos, there's a different terminology that's used. By Avram Avinu, it says, Vayamoid, Vayashkem Avram Avoyke, Vayamoid, there's a lotion of Amida used. By Yitzchak Avinu, it uses the lotion of Vayitzi Yitzchak Losuach Basode, Sicha. By Yaakov Avinu, it says Vayifga Bamokim. So we have Sicha, Pegio, and Amido, which the first letters make up Shefa. The word Shefa is totally in Tefillah. What is Tefillah? Where do you learn Tefillah? From the Avos HaKadoshim. This one it says Sicha, this one it says Pegio, this one it says Amido. That's the summary of Tefillah. That's how we see that the whole Shefa is totally Bedafka in the Tikkun of Tefillah. Now we should be zeichet to get to know how to daven the right way with this type of anova, with this type of pure mind, to be able to accomplish these items.
Amen.
Baruch Hashem. Next, this Torah we quoted many times in Shiurim. Now we're going to have the pleasure of doing it inside. Baruch Hashem. Teret Tzadik Ches. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ho inyen ma shenemar bigamora kama pomim, nosan boyeno venase gal shalatzomois. We find there are many places in the Gemara where the Gemara says that a rabbi, the Gemara, got angry at someone, he looked at him, and the person became a pile of bones. But note, exactly, Reb Shmuel Yochai Zal is one of the examples where it says that when he came out of the cave, he came out and he saw people doing work, just stand doing work, and he said, how could these people be so crazy? Person has an opportunity to be alive on earth. What are these morons doing toiling a field? They belong learning, studying Torah. The Gemara says that he looked, and wherever he looked, there was fire. Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal or Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon? I don't remember which one it's brought about, that wherever they looked at that time, there was fire. They were killing left and right. Then a basko came out and said, get back into the cave. You're not ready yet. If you don't have a control on this fire, you're not ready to come out of the cave. Then when they came out the second time, it was much more under control. Okay, but in any case, note people don't translate the words. The wording is not that he looked at him. The wording is nosan boy enov. He gave into that person. The rabbi gave into that person his eyes, and the person became a pile of bones. What does this mean? Rabbeinu Zal says, Ma haloshin nosan enoy boy. What is this terminology, he gave his eyes into that person? What does it mean? Rabbeinu Zal says, Uma nase gal shelatzomais. Why does it use this term, gal, a pile of bones? Why this exact wording? Rabbeinu Zal says, Ach hinei ha'odom enoy roya ad heichon ha'pegam magia imovar aveira. A person generally, a regular person, is not capable of seeing what extent of damage he's done when he's committed a sin. A person doesn't realize what kind of damage he's done in the heavenly worlds each time he commits the tiniest sin. V'hatzadik roye. But a tzaddik does see this. A tzaddik is one who knows heaven well enough, where he knows how much is accomplished when a person does a mitzvah, and at the same time he knows how much destruction is wreaked when a person does an avera, chas v'shalom. Ki hatzaddik yesh loy einei Hashem, because we know that a tzaddik possesses the eyes of Hashem, kaviyocho. K'moy shekosel, as the pasuk says, einei Hashem el tzaddikim. Hashem gives over his eyes to tzaddikim. Which tzaddik is known as tzaddik? Yosef. The word ein Hashem, ayin yud nun, Hashem, is exactly bigematria Yosef, the Sifrei Kabbalah bring, to show that the tzaddik is the one who possesses the eye of Hashem, kaviyachal. So Rabbeinu Zal says, Shehat tzaddik yesh loy einei Hashem, ve'einei Hashem heima mishoytetois b'chol haaretz. The Navi says that kaviyachal, Hashem's eyes are so great that they can stroll over the whole world. They can see everything, which means that if a tzaddik is given the eyes of Hashem, it means a tzaddik is given the power also to see everywhere, to see into the heavens, to be able to see what happens when a sin is done, chas v'shalom, what kind of damage is generated by it. Nimtza, Hatzadik royo ad heichon apigam magia. That the tzadik is the one who really gets to see how much damage, how far the damage has reached. V'zeh pirush ha-gemoro. This is what the Gemara means when it says nosan einov boi. The tzadik, the rabbi, places his eyes into that person. Kleimar sheyihye roye be'eneim shel tzadikim. What the tzaddik does is he opens up that person's eyes, the one who he sees committing a sin and he gets angry at. The tzaddik opens up that person's eyes. The tzaddik, it shines from his eyes into that person's eyes, the power to be able to see how much damage he's done by that sin. Venase gal shelat somos. Rabbeinu Zal says, gal miloshin his galus. The word gal means a pile of bones. The word gal also means a revelation. It becomes revealed to this person what's on his bones. Va'atzomois miloshin oitzem einov merois baro. The word etzem means bone. The word oitzem also means to constrict. The pasuk says, oitzem einov merois baro. The person closes his eyes from seeing anything evil. Then I say, gal shel atzomois, that which originally was otzum, was closed up. The person couldn't see how much damage he committed. The tzaddik gives the person, he reveals to this person that which was originally closed up. Dahainu shehu roya ma shepogam, the person is given the capacity to be able to see what kind of damage he's done. Shehoyonistar mimenu mikoidim, which was originally not known to the person at all, ve'ein einish godel mizeh kishodom roye ma shepogam. Rabbi Nizal says there does not exist any greater punishment than this, than when a person gets to see how much damage he's done when he commits a sin. And that's what causes the person to die. In other words, Rabbeinu Zal is explaining the secret. When it says these stories in the Gemara that a person did something very bad and a rabbi looked at him and he killed him, what actually transpired here? What took place? Rabbeinu Zal says that tzaddik saw that this person deserved death. No question about it. That Hashem wanted this person dead. How does the tzaddik do it? He looks at the person. With his look, what does he do? He transfers his power of vision into the person to be able to see where the person is given the capacity to be able to see what kind of damage he's done, and that alone causes the person to die. The fear and fright and awesomeness of seeing the size of a pigam, that's what kills the person completely.
How come the Ramchal, the Yisrael, and the Mirzal Tussin left earlier than the most nobis?
The fact that they passed away at a young age.
Yeah.
That's a separate item completely. Rabbeinu Zal said clearly that the reason why he had to leave at such a young age was because his body could no longer keep up with the Kiddush of his neshama. By the Arizal, it's brought clearly that there were a few incidents with his students where his students made mistakes, and he said, because of this, I have to pass away. We were telling over stories recently in the Shabbos Shiurim about the Arizal. We didn't yet get to the story where the Arizal said, based on a certain incident, that he's going to have to leave. He's going to have to pass away. It's a shame I have that soon.
Ramchal, yeah.
Him, I don't know about it. I don't know about it.
Right. And then he prayed to him to be exploded. Now, why would that...
In other words, obviously there must be things there that we don't know about. There must have been a reason why this one had to go through the penalty of death and why this one had to inflict it. There's obviously something behind it that we're not aware of. We'll learn more, we'll know. But in other words, whenever you see something like that, know that there definitely is an explanation.
Well, I'm sure because that's how people working.
Right.
No, it's
anything with
people not
working. They were working on Shabbos. That's one item that's brought there, that he saw people working a field on Shabbos. But even again, if you recall, there's a machlokas in Brachas between Rabbi Shimon ben Yehoyazal and Rabbi Shmuel. Two different opinions. One said, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehoyazal said that a Jew is born, a Jew is not permitted to have any dealings in Gashmias. A Jew is not permitted to go to work or any of those things. If a Jew conducts himself properly, he'll find that malachto einas is al yedei acherim. He won't have to go to work. The goyim will provide parnasa for him. How? It'll happen, period. This was the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Yochai. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol said, I disagree. I say, Toiv, Torah, and Derech Eretz. That you must have Torah and Parnasa. We're not on a high level. That's what I say. The Gemara explains later that they weren't really arguing. Rabbi Shimon Yochai was addressing the elite of Klal Yisrael, such as his students, for example, who were on so high a madrega, where the Gemara says that they were even potter from tefillah. They had such a high level of Torah that they were potter from the chiv of tefillah. To those types of people, he was saying, by you, you have to drop, let other people, you have to be supported, you belong only in Torah and everything. But the Rabbi Shmuel was the one who said both. So it's conceivable for Rabbi Shimon Yochai to see a Jew working and to get angry at that. What's a Jew doing working? The Gemara says about Rabbi Meir also, that the Gemara says at the end of Kiddushin, if you recall, the Gemara discusses the fact that a father is cleared to teach his son how to swim and how to earn a trade and everything. The Gemara says, and the Gemara lists like a whole dot blot of going into all kinds of discussions, has to teach him this and that, and this is a good trade, this is a bad trade. The Gemara ends off by saying, Omar Rabbi Nohoi Roi, Rabbi Meir said, I say, all of this is for the birds. I say a father is only required to teach his son Torah, and all the rest gets done by itself. He doesn't have to look for parnas everything. I say teach him Torah only, and everything will get done automatically.
When we say that the tzaddik gives his eyes, the person will be able to see his pagan, do we mean that he sees his pagan as it relates, let's say, to the tzaddik? Because the tzaddik is judged on a much higher level.
No. We see the damage incurred, period. That's what it is. Not really, not as though the tzaddik gets better. You committed a sin, I'm going to show you now what you did. And that act alone is enough to destroy a person. Mm-hmm. As we see the way the Gemara describes, a person just comes before the Bezim Shalmala, and the terror alone is enough to wipe out a person. So you could imagine the terror of seeing what's been. In other words, picture Meirat B'Malchus. In other words, I can give it to you an example, the Gashmias. You have a person who goes into a palace, and he's talking to a king, and he says something which he didn't mean as an insult, and it comes out as an insult. Picture the first second he doesn't realize it, picture the second he realizes it, picture the terror that hits him suddenly when he looks around him and he sees people in the palace are looking with an angry look, and he knows the king is angry, and he knows that there's an impending doom. That fright alone has the power to kill. That's Begashmias. Picture when a person is given the eyes to see how it's affected the Melech Malchei Melechim, that's the concept here. That it's the terror of knowing that you've insulted the king, you being given the power to see what you've done, that kills, causes the person to pass away.
This case is
just a second.
Smooth like a
excuse me?
The story where you come second.
Exactly. That the tzaddik, in other words, how does he do this? The tzaddik has a power to, he's so smooth, the Rabbeinu Zal brings a different Torah, that a person, through his bad deeds, makes himself like have rough edges. Whereas the tzaddik is referred to as a mirror, which means any person coming to the tzaddik, what's the main accomplishment in coming to a tzaddik? The tzaddik lets you see what's inside you. He lets you see what's wrong with you and lets you correct it. If you recall, we had a story about the treasure under the bridge and the person had to go back home to find where the treasure was. That's the concept. And when a person comes to the tzaddik, it's not so much that the tzaddik is mechuyev to give him everything, that the 1 hour that the person spends learning by the shir of the tzaddik, that's the avodah belonging. That's what's supposed to give you the power of a mirror to look into yourself so that when you go back home, you're given the power to learn and daven and everything, you know, to understand how much there is to be done.
The version that you, the way that you quote the Chiddush, is in a different place as far as revealing what's on a person's bones.
That's a separate item. In other words, that's by the way, that's included here. Nasi gal shalatzom is Rabbi Nazar brings in a different place that means becomes revealed to the person that which is on the bones.
But
here he's using the word atzom to mean oitzem einoy. That which was originally closed to the person, he couldn't see it, now becomes revealed.
Does it have to do with what he said, though? The fact that does he see the difference, or maybe the neshama feels the difference from the tzaddik to his neshama?
No. You guys are making a chant out of something that's not there. We're not talking about anything in relation to it. We're talking about the person is given the power to see exactly what he has done in relation to himself. Period. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Teret Tzaddik Tess. Rabbeinu Zal says, on the Pasuk Vo'eschanan El Hashem, Bo'isahi Leimar. We quoted this many times. Now we're going to get to see it inside. Dehine ho'odom tzorech lehispalel bedveikus godo El Hashem Yisborach. Each and every Jew is responsible to daven to Hashem with a lot of dveikus, which means a very close attachment to Hashem. Ach im lefa'omim yesh eis, she'enu yachol lehispalel bedveikus. But if a person finds at times that due to a mood or due to a physical tiredness, it's not possible to daven in this proper manner, al yomar eini nispalel klal. The person is not permitted to say, I'm not going to daven at all. Because I can't daven in that manner, I'm not going to daven at all. Me'achar sheni yochol lechaven koroy lispal bedveikus. Since he finds that he can't have the proper kavona and daven with the proper dveikus, he's not permitted to do that. V'hatfila eina mekubeles, and he says that since I can't daven in this proper manner, my tefila won't even be accepted. K'moy shomer azal, as the Gemara says in Brochus, al Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa, shehoyu mispalel, that Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa was very famous for his tefila. The Gemara says people used to come to him and ask him to daven for them, and the Gemara says you were able to ask him on the spot, was the tefila answered or not? So the Gemara says, they asked him once, how do you know? How can you tell if your tefillah worked or not? So he said, in tefillah si shagura b'fi, if I see that the tefillah is coming out pure, I know that it'll definitely be answered. If not, not. So that Gemara, the Gemara says, Omar lahem, he said to them, im shagura tefillah si b'fi, if my tefillah is smooth, Yoideani Shumakubal, I know that it's been accepted. Vim lav, and if not, Yoideani Shumaturov, I know that it's not been accepted. Vizehu al derech shomarnu, this corresponds to what we just said before, in bidvekus, that if the tefillah is done with a real attachment to Hashem, she'azai hatefillah shiguro umarutza befiv, then the tefillah comes out smooth, like no rough edges. It's not a difficult item. It flows forth with a smoothness. Whenever a person is aroused to a real feeling of wanting to come close to Hashem, you picture the tefillah coming out like oil. It's coming out flowing smooth, no bubbling, no rough motions. Mikubelis, that's when you know it's received by Hashem. Vim lav chas v'sholom lehepech. And if not, chas v'sholom, it would seem to mean that it's not accepted by Hashem, which means it just goes lost. That's what it would seem to mean. Afal pikein, Rabbi Nezal says, but still, al yemar odom kein. A person should not say like this. Elo yispalel tomid. A person should daven at all times. And if he finds that he can't daven with the proper dveikus tashem, he should still daven with all of his might. Try to put physical power into it. Because then, when the time will come that the person will be aroused to present a tefillah that will be with the right dveikus, Azai yale kol hatfilois im hatfilo hahi shehispal karoi. Then that one tefillah will take up with it all the other tefillahs, the myriad tefillahs that the person davened that weren't so good. They suddenly all go up in one zet with that one tefillah that the person presents a week later, or a year later, or 50 years later, that does come out the right way. And Rabbi Nizal says, this is Pshat in the Posig, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Vo'ezchanan El Hashem, I davened to Hashem. When? Tomid. Rabbeinu Zal says, that's at all times. Bein bedveikus, bein shalei bedveikus. Whether it came out smoothly or not, I always daven to Hashem. Note the word Vo'ezchanan is bigimatria tefillah, which means stam tefillah, good, bad, in between, nothing. Just tefillah, I daven to Hashem at all times. Bo'ez hahi leimor. Hainu, bo'ez she'ezke lehispalel bedveikus. When that time comes, when I'll be zeicha to daven with a dveikus to Hashem, which means with real kavono, with real das, then leimor, then shehu b'china shgura tefilosi b'fi, that the tefillah will come out smoothly, והיינו בו איסהי לאמור שהדבורים נאמורים ומרוצים בפיו, that the words will be נאמר, will be stated with a smoothness. The Gemara says amira בחשוי. The word amira means softly, smoothly. Dibur means rough, amira means smoothness.
But that smoothly doesn't mean like the smoothly of saying good words in your heart, you really believe.
That kind of we mean where the heart and mouth are connected here. Just a second. Shahadvorim nehemorim omerutzim befiv, why machmas shem ispal bedvekus? Because he's davening with a dvekus Hashem, the words are coming out smoothly. Oz yale kol hatfilois shespal eladato kanal. The person is guaranteed that one time when he's zeicha to present a real good tefillah, that tefillah takes up with it all the other tefillahs that weren't 100%, that weren't that good. This is what Rabbeinu Zal said. Rav Nosson Zal's Talmidim said, we have a Kabbalah from Rav Nosson Zal that the time that's most mesugel for shooting out this spectacular tefillah, which takes up with it all the other ones, is when a person's in a down state. When a person's in a hatzlus, in a depressed state, and he pushes himself, he forces himself to daven anyway, he can be zeicher to shoot out a tefillah at that time, where the tefillah comes out with a leiv nishbor, and with such feeling that tefillah takes up with it in one zetz 100 other or 1,000 other tefillahs that couldn't go up real high where they should be. And that's why the nature of tefillah is that you don't see gradual change in tefillah usually. When a person's davening for an item, it's not like he sees that one day this is getting better a little. It the way it works, for a month, it looks like you're davening every day and nothing whatsoever is happening. Then suddenly, in one set, bingo, looks like the door opens, and you ask yourself, where were they till now? Why didn't... And the fact is, in other words, it's not always necessarily even right after you shoot out a fabulous tefillah. Sometimes it just takes a certain number that has to fill up. And when that number is completed, it's the fact that you hit the right number, it's like a bell goes off in heaven, and that causes all of these items to go into effect. Now, we were once zeicher to hear from Rabbi Yochanan, the Rosh Bais of the world, where he once explained that this whole Torah is marumos in the Zmirois that we say on Shabbos morning. The Arizal and the Zmirois that we have on for Shabbos morning has one sentence in there, which is actually this Torah in different wording. What's the wording in that chapter, in that paragraph? The Arizal says, Tzreira de la Ela, there is a certain heavenly package, the bay chaye koila, with it a person gives chias to everything. What does that mean, to everything? It means to all these tefillah. This, what is this heavenly package? It's this spectacular tefillah that we're talking about here that comes out the right way. The bay that with it chaye koila, the person shines a chias into all the other tefillahs that were dead. They seemed dead. It looked like they didn't go anywhere. V'yisrabe chelo, and this causes the army to be increased. What do we mean by be increased? Because suddenly it's like you had 500 soldiers that were ready to do work, but they were dead, they were inactive. Suddenly the whole army, the whole reserves is pulled out into active duty. These 1,000 tefillahs that were dormant suddenly become active, which means v'yisrabe chelo, the army of Hashem becomes increased. V'sisak adresho. And it goes up way, way, way on high to the Kesser, to the highest level of Kiddusha possible.
How does that compare to last week's Sajra, which I think Yoav did David Melech's bidding and went out and counted, referenced him, went out and counted the soldiers in Israel, which was like an Avera too. I mean, numbers are not essential.
It's a separate thing, although you see in last week's parasha that they did count the Jews, that Hashem commanded counting to the Jews. Right. The answer is there's a time when it's permissible and a way in which it's permissible. Just a second. But this is what Rabbi Yochanan mentioned in Ashir. I recall when I first heard this, when I was, I had said this nearest every Shabbos, you know, you don't know what it's talked about. When he explained it in this manner, it was like spectacular. And I was so happy at the time that we met Rabbi Zal afterwards when we were going out of yeshiva, and I wanted to tell him what I heard Rabbi Yechaim say, so I told him over this whole thing, and he enjoyed it very much. Could be he heard it before from him, could be he didn't. He thought for a minute, and he said, now that you said this to me, let me add something to it. And he said, take a look at the word Tzreira. We just had in the previous Torah, Rabbi Nazal says, what is Tefillah in one word? What do we want to accomplish in Tefillah? Malchus. You want Tefillah to have a Malchus, an Emshola. The word Tzreira is exactly the Gematria Malchus. We're talking about a heavenly package. What kind of heavenly package? A package of Tefillah. What is a package of Tefillah? It's a package of Malchus. Proof is, who is the one who said Va'ani Tefillah? The Melech, Dovid HaMelech. And why we should be zeicha to follow all the advice that's written in this Sefer and be zeicha thereby to get to see the coming of Mashiach and the Ves Hodesh Baruch Amen.
Amen.
Mincha.
Definitely.
We
also
done
the
better
time to
be
in Tefillah when you're doing those.
He was.
Of course.
So there's a little chance that one is Ba'il Mahaza, one is Ba'il Mahaza. Ba'il Mahaza is Ein, one eye, both eyes on Nidhal, and one which is Ein of the Kichel, which is a whole spectacular thing. But the Zerukh says there that Hashem and Yechazal said that his two Talmidim, who were the two, no, would you say about a good Talmud, the apple of the Rebbe's eye, that kind of thing. Who were the two eyes of Rabbi Shimon ben Yechazal? Those were his son Rabbi Elazar and his Talmud Mufal Rabbi Abba.